Welcome back inside the cave. Jeff Bowman, yours truly, Pat Hayes with you this morning. And as promised, on the other end of our line this morning, we have Tom Crawford, podcaster extraordinaire, and someone who was at the Big Ten Media Day this past Tuesday and Wednesday. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast, Tom.
Well, good morning to you, Pat, and to Jeff. Yeah, I just got home by 10 to 1 last night. Had a big old dinner in Indy after day two of Big Ten Media Days. And for me, as a football, college football nerd, Big Ten football nerd, and follower of the Michigan program, I was a kid in a candy store. I mean, this is like going to Disneyland for me, because I just learned so much from a player from Rutgers about just little stuff. I just eat it up, and it's a great event if you're a media person to go down there at the floor of Lucas Oil Stadium, which is a perfect place to have it. It's all inclusive and works out great.
Did you get slapped by a tortilla at all? Did you see any of that going on?
No, I was not a victim of that.
Did you see any of it or hear about that?
I
watched something on ESPN last night, and they had some stare down contest or something between, actually, because it showed like it was Justin Fields and Smith and Ojigbo, and there was a couple other teammates that were there, and some kind of contest they had, and if you lost, you got smacked in the face with a tortilla.
Oh, that's awesome. No, so, I didn't know about that. I was traveling last night. I got back late, but
it was pretty funny. So I didn't know how much it was going around, if it was, if much of the media saw it. That's why I figured I'd ask you.
No, we didn't. we were just soaking up the content and, got out of there about, 6:15 last night, went to dinner and came home. But, some people say, what do you learn? You get a lot of coach speak, you got a lot of players speak, but you can – you have that general session, if you will, on, opening day or in the morning, or the seven coaches each morning give their, opening statements, and you have some Q&A. But it's the scrum, we call it, in these booths. It's very similar to a Super Bowl situation where you crowd around and it's open forum questioning. That's when you really learn about things from most coaches. I learn always from Kirk Ferentz, always Pat Fitzgerald, two of my favorite guys. Mel Tucker, I listened to for an hour and 15. The dude gets it. And just the way he's approaching, basically how leadership on that program at Michigan State and basically telling them, telling his team, don't self-impose limitations on yourself. This is the creed he had last year. Philosophically, I'm right on line with him and Ryan Day. I mean, these are the two rivals that from Michigan perspective, Mel Tucker and Ryan Day. And I don't like their teams, but I do like their head coaches, and I do admire their head coaches a great deal.
Well, I know you posed a question to Coach Jim Harbaugh, and I looked at the video, and it seemed like you kind of caught him off guard. He really didn't know what to say. There was a lot of silence before he even came up with an answer. So give us a recap, Tom, of what you asked him, what you asked him, and what his response was.
Well, I mean, I was a lot of times, I mean, you guys have been these media things. I mean, especially on these, Wolverine.com, which I'm involved with, some of these, I mean, they're literally softball questions, okay? No one wants to be confrontational. And it wasn't my intention to be, contentious with Jim Harbaugh, okay? But I always try to speak from a fan's perspective, which I was a season ticket holder, my family for 45 years at Michigan Stadium, about these next two seasons in Ann Arbor. The non-conference slate, you have no Power Fives on the schedule. You have three non-conference games, and they're against Group of Five. Everybody knows what Group of Five, the smaller conference. You have Colorado State representing the Mountain West. You have Hawaii Mountain West, and then you have UConn, American Athletic, and UConn is one of the worst teams in college football. You're using that, and they're all at home, no less, and you're doing that in preparation for the Big Ten season. And then next year, who do we have on there for the Wolverines at home for these high paying season ticket holders. You have UNLV, you have East Carolina, and you have Bowling Green. Okay, so when you if you want to hang with the Georgias of the world, or even compete in the Big Ten East, how do you find out where your flaws are when you're going against that level of competition? So that's one perspective. So I asked him, you know, in the future, are we going to see, I see Oklahoma, I see Texas on here, are we going to see a trend more to at least get one Power Five on there? And he goes, I don't know. And once again, and then, you know, that awkward moment, and then he stares you down. Well, I stared him back. I mean, I don't get intimidated by anybody. I'm not a softball thrower like a lot of these media people are, okay? And, you know, I'm too old for this nonsense. And so, once again, he says, we'll take it up with Ward Manuel at the end, okay? You mean to tell me that Jim Harbaugh has no input on scheduling? You mean to tell me that Jim Harbaugh, Ward says, yeah, here's your schedule for 2022. I see who we got. You think that's a bunch of BS. So he has input, and he asked me to ask Ward, so I get down to Ann Arbor next. I'm going to ask Ward, oh, what input, what's the decision-making process, and are you, this is an injustice to the high-paying season ticket holders when you've got three cupcakes coming to Ann Arbor for the next 2 years.
And I agree with that. I mean, you have to have, you know, if you want to throw a bone to, you know, like a Bowling Green or another MAC school, someone, you know, that you want to do that. Yeah, exactly. You get that. You want to be able to kind of have that and, you know, allow some of those guys come into the Big House and do that. But to do that on a, you know, on a regular basis with multiple opponents, that's where you have to figure out where do you sit? How, you know, you got to figure your team out, and you can't figure it out just playing cupcakes.
You can't, Jeff. Great point. I mean, so you always talk about, yeah, we got to clean some. We found out we have to clean some things up. How are you going to find out what you need to clean up against that level of competition? Okay, Ohio State. Who are they open with? Notre Dame at home. Okay, Notre Dame is having a sensational recruiting class under Marcus Freeman, and in both 23 and 24, number one in the country. It's a program on the rise. That's who Michigan played. And Michigan's played Power Fives in the past. Why have all of a sudden this stops when you're trying to take a look? And they talk about all the future scheduling. You know, no, there's been tweaks on that in the past. They have to. Michigan's got to step up scheduling wise and find out, you know, what they're all about. Now I know SEC teams do it, but at least you got to at least play one Power Five. Have it on your schedule. And you go two group of five non-conference slates coming up. I think it's insulting to the Michigan fan base who attend the games, who pay the money, not StubHub, but who pay the money and the royalty fees to sit in that stadium every Saturday.
No, and that's a great point too. I mean, you want to have your fan base at least feel like they've spent money going to watch great games instead of just figuring, well, I'm just going to get rid of these tickets, or I'm going to sell these because the games I don't even want to go to.
It's hot. It's 80 degrees. You're sitting, you're baking in the sun. You know, to watch just mop them up. And I just, that's where I came from. So what happened afterward? My phone starts blowing up. Ohio State media are all of a sudden my buddies. They're coming over with the attaboys. Michigan State athletic personnel ribbed me yesterday. Hey, Mr. Antagonistic, I saw you on TV. So, but I wasn't doing it for that kind of notoriety. I just want to find out from a fan's perspective. I think media's role, in my opinion, you are a liaison to the team that you're covering, to the fans that follow the game. You have access that the fans don't have. You ask questions that the fans can't ask,
right. Okay?
And instead of just doing these other questions that are, you know, basically, tell us about your biggest challenges on defense, or tell us about such and such player, and what does he need to improve his game? I mean, those are not questions that fans are really wanting to find out. They want to find out direction of program and the obligation financially and value they get out of attending those games.
Well, they also talked a lot about expansion in the CFB and 12 teams and possibly even 16 teams. And I know Commissioner Warren was kind of backed into a corner a little bit and was forced to talk about it. Can you tell us what he said?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I thought Kevin Warren can divulge as much as he can. I mean, well, that first of all, in terms of expansion, the USC-UCLA acquisition, if you will, and two, I mean, there is a universal acceptance to that because I think all the Big Ten coaches and the players, for that matter, know that there's going to be expansion in college football. You're going to get you're probably going to get three power three conferences. You probably get the Big Ten, SEC, and then the remnants of the Pac-12 and the Big 12, or the ACC. Maybe that. Maybe the high cotton kind of teams out of that. And you might have a fourth Power Five. I don't know, but you're it's inevitable. So I mean, they're saying, hey, if you're going to get, you know, if SEC is going after Texas and OU, let's go get, you know, these big markets, USC, UCLA. So there was all universal in that. In terms of the playoff, though, that, you know, he was pretty vague on that, you know, and Kirk Ferentz made a good point. I mean, he said when they went to 2-4, why not just go to 8 or 12 or whatever? You know, he like, you know, and where you get, you know, the champions of the conference, they earn a crown or a bid as Big Ten or champions or whatever, or SEC champions. And then you have a few at-large bids for the group of five if they have a team that's, you know, like a Central Florida comes out of nowhere or somebody like that. And I think they should too, but until this thing expires in what 25, 26, whatever, when the new contract will start, you're not going to see much. You're not going to see any change in the next 2 years.
Tom, you were talking when we first came on about one of the things that was the highlight for you, and that was talking to some of the players. Can you give us some of the players that stood out in your mind?
Well, I'm gonna, you know. Eric All is a sharp young man, the tight end from Michigan. And, you know, Cade McNamara, the same way, DJ Turner, Mozzie Smith. This is universal Michigan fans out there. These guys, and this is like what I've been yearning for, they've made under no uncertain terms, we got to beat Michigan State. We have to beat Michigan State. That is a non-negotiable mindset in their mind. And so I think on October 29th, I'm not sure Michigan's going to survive. I think they will, but I'm not, you know, you're never sure about anything. But I think Michigan has prioritized the Michigan State game. Mel Tucker's beaten Harbaugh two times in a row. The only regular season loss last year was to Michigan State. And that's the biggest takeaway from that. Also, I thought Jim Harbaugh mentioned something. This is something I believe what he told me. That a year ago, last year to this year, this team is in way better shape than a year ago, and they won the Big Ten title. And he also said it's as good as the team that finished against Georgia. Well, that's all well and good, but if you're going to compete to win a national championship, obviously they have to make improvements from that. So there's that perspective. I mean, I got input from some other players like C.J. Stroud. This dude has got confidence, confidence, and Ohio State is dripping with talent and depth. And I will be, let's just say, shocked if they don't go 12-0 and end up, you know, the top seed in the college football playoff.
Speaking of Ohio State, of course. Michigan had little trouble running on the Buckeyes this past year, as we know. They fired their defensive coordinator. They have a new one this year, Jim Knowles, coming in from Oklahoma State. And I think Ryan Day mentioned something about, yeah, we got to shore up our defense. Any other comments from him about that?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up. That was a huge centerpiece of it because it's like from Ohio State perspective, what do we got to tweak? I mean, C.J. Stroud says, I didn't play very good last year. He was brilliant, let's be real. The guy was a Heisman Trophy finalist. So their offense and Smith and Jigba and all those, oh, my God, that team offensively is a freaking arsenal. No, but the defense and Jim Knowles, I mean, they talked about that, about philosophically – the changes in what they're going to do. I mean, they addressed it. I mean, that you know, obviously they handled Michigan State well, but Michigan could have hung 63 on them in that game in Ann Arbor. They got 42. Could have been worse. So I think they're addressing that, and there's some position changes, and they've They got some great freshmen coming in that will play key roles on that defense. Yeah, I expect them to ramp that up. So, I mean, that was a big thing for Ohio State. Is that defense been fixed? And they believe it has.
Yeah, and it, again, as you said, how loaded they are. They didn't lose a lot, Ohio State, and what they're bringing back. And offensively, yeah, they're crazy good. But, you know, again, defense, you still got to shore some things up. But
yeah, to that point, Mel Tucker, his approach on his team, with and they're doing outstanding in recruiting, how do we get to, you know, they look at Ohio State as the talent gap. The biggest gap from Michigan State to the next team up is Ohio State. And I think everybody feels that way. How do you get to that talent level? And that's easier said than done, but that's where the aspiration is, to get to that level of talent and speed so that you can, you know, have a, you know, a puncher's chance when you play.
Speaking of recruiting, Michigan picked up a couple more, I think, last week. And one of them, I think, is coming in from overseas.
Yeah, I mean, the footprint is incredibly wide in college football. And, you know, the barbecue at the Big House is a big recruiting event coming up in Ann Arbor. And I think you're going to get a few, from my understanding, I'm not a recruit, Nick, or anything, but from the people that I talk to down in the recruiting experts down in Indy who cover Michigan, that they could get a few commitments too. But I think from my understanding, general consensus is if everything goes right, Michigan will have a top 15 class. But think about that, Pat and Jeff. Top 15 class coming off your first Big Ten title in 17 years with that momentum and the CFP berth. And you're having a top 15 class. That doesn't make any sense.
No, that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable.
You know why it does make sense? Yeah. You know why it does make sense? Because on signing day in February, their head coach was out romancing an NFL team about bolting for the NFL. That's how that happened.
You're absolutely right.
That and the NIL money that's not flowing through Ann Arbor.
Yeah, that's now Jim did address that, you know, because, you know, obviously Ryan Day, that comment, you know, I need $13 million. He actually challenged the Ohio State corporate base out there, right? We need more money. And then Jim goes, yeah, he's all about that. I mean, I want to double that. Well, it's got to happen. And I don't know who's involved with making that happen. But and it should not be involved in recruiting, because it is the guardrails thing was established by NIL. They're going to have to set some criteria on this, because otherwise it's going to be a recruiting tool to pluck people away from each other. I mean, Ohio State has a now they're going to have a general manager of their personnel, and so they have two personnel departments, one recruiting high school kids and the other just monitoring the portal. Multiple full-time employees monitoring the portal, trying to anticipate who might want to transfer to Ohio State. And now that devil's in the details, but wow, that's where we're at, folks, in terms of the portal and what it's like recruiting players to come to your school.
It's final, free agency out there.
Yeah. Final question, Tom. Michigan has a new president. He's very athletic-minded. You think that's going to help the Wolverines?
Yeah, I mean, from what he did at Cincinnati, you know, his philosophical approach to college football has helped brand the university. And that's when Cincinnati turned things around under his regime. I think it's a good hire, big in research, and so that's a good thing. But you never know. I mean, and really, the president having an impact on the college football team seems like he would have more important things to do. But it's a relevant thing because it – you know, I say that, and then I'm going to contradict myself and saying, yeah, but that's just the brand. I mean, I went to Michigan. Why did I go to Michigan? Was it for academic? As a student? No, because I love going to Michigan football games as a kid, and I followed Cassie Russell as a kid. So that's why I want to go to Michigan. So people go to schools for various reasons, and that was mine.
Hey, Tom, we are out of time, but only a month away from the start of the season.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and love to come on with you guys, Jeff and Pat. I mean, you're fun to talk to on your show. You do a great job, and so call me anytime, and we'll talk Michigan football.
Sounds great, Tom. We'll see you soon.
Okay, take care, guys.
All right. Perfect. Thanks, Tom.
Tom Crawford, with us this morning on Inside the Cave. Thanks to him. And we'll be talking more to him as the time goes on.